Amen. I'd like to open up this message from some verses from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. The Word of God says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Amen. And the title of my message, it will be Love From Whom and To Whom. And we're going to answer those two questions in this sermon. And the reason I decided to talk about love is because yesterday was Valentine's Day. And during Valentine's Day, you express your love and gratitude towards those around you, whether that be friends, family, brothers and sisters. And typically, this day looks different for everyone. For me and my wife, we had a little picnic at the park where we exchanged nice words, and we just had a wonderful time being in our presence. But something I realized is because this day looks different for everyone, we all think about love differently. And so it may be wise to talk about love, understand where it comes from, to who it should go to, so that we can do it a better job of it. But I think something we can all agree on when it comes to love is that the value we typically place onto love is associated by how much time someone puts into something or the cost that it was to give that thing. And I think ultimately the greatest gift that humanity ever received was very pricely. It cost very much. And what it was the price of Jesus on Calvary for our sins. And so I'd like to talk about our first point, and that love is from God. And as I said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, for love comes from God. But if you read later on into John, in verse 19, it says, "We love because he first loved us." And something that we can understand that God loves us, and this love that we have inside of us comes from him. And we see God's love everywhere, whether it be the flowers in the sky, the flowers on the ground, the birds in the sky, whether it be the relationship that God has blessed us with, the fact that God has provided for all of our needs, a lot of our wants, and ultimately providing everything we need for salvation. And something I believe we need to understand is that the ability to love ultimately comes from God. And I think we can best love others by understanding a simple but also very complex subject, and that is God giving Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. But a question I have for you, church, is we hear these phrases that God loves us, that God cares for us. But something I want us to think about is, does this have the same effect on us today as when we first believed? And I ask this question because maybe when we came to the faith, the words of God loves us was so powerful that it saved us from death to life. But the Christian walk is much more than this transition, but it's God wanting to give us life and life abundantly. And the way we can do that, I believe, is by understanding deeply what God did on the cross so that we can understand from where this love comes from. And so I'll be reading also from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. It says here, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God shows his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we are still sinners. And since we have been made right with God in God's sight by the blood of Jesus Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation." And I think it's very interesting that Paul, to illustrate God's love, he brings it down to our terms, to our level. And he compares God's love to what we would do. if we would die for a good person, or if we would die for an especially good person, and if we were to put ourselves into this illustration that Paul offers, and if we were to think about and put yourself in this scenario, if would you die for someone who did you very dirty, who lied to you, who cheated on you, who said disgusting things, who abandoned you? And I think ultimately a lot of us, most of us, if not all of us, would say no. But the beautiful thing is that while we may say no, God would say yes. And I think we need to understand that before we gave our lives to Christ, that was the type of person that we were. We were people that have abandoned the faith, that we were people that abandoned God, that treated God very carelessly. And sometimes when I remember my sins and things that I have done wrong personally, and how my sins has nailed Jesus Christ on that cross, when I think about that, it makes me want to just praise the Lord for what he has saved me from. And something that I often happens to me is that I sometimes forget about where God has saved me from. And sometimes I maybe treat God's grace very cheaply or very casually. And the times when I start to forget about what God has done in my lives, I start slipping in my relationship with God. I see that I'm not as mature as I once was. I see that I'm not loving God as I once was. I'm seeing patterns in the past that are starting to come back up, and I despise that. And I think ultimately what happens is I forget the love of Jesus, that what he did on that cross. And it pains me that sometimes I treat the grace of God so casually, so cheaply. Another parable I want us to look at is Luke chapter 15, verse 20. And it says here, it's ultimately about the lost son. And something I like about this, we're going to see, is how the father in this story, how he treats his son here. It says here, so when he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. And I think it's a really good parable because we easily can substitute ourselves for the son, and we can substitute the father for God. And ultimately, we know that this parable is about salvation, of how he transferred us from death into life. But I love it, and it impacts me so much because I see God's love so deeply in this parable. And it says here that while he was still far off, the father saw him and ran up to him. And I'm not sure about you, but when I see this parable and how the father treats his son, I see myself very easily into the son. Because at once we were far away from God. For once we threw away all the things that God gave us, but God had compassion for us. He ran towards us. And he threw his arms and surrounded us with his love. And so when I look at all these things that God has done for us, I just see a great role model of what love is, of how God loved us. And I think ultimately we cannot love other people before we understand the concept that God loved us so deeply and so much, so deeply and so much, that the ability for you to love someone comes from God. And I think that concept will be the starting point for us to be able to love other people. And once we love more people and once we understand what Christ has did on the cross, this will create more spiritual maturity in us, and that other people will be able to see that. And also, we're going to transition to point two, which is love is to God. Love is to other people. It says here in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved for one another. And what I take from this is the author John says that we will know we are followers of Christ based on if we love. And I think a lot of people in this world, we pride ourselves in many attributions. Maybe we say that we are wise. Maybe that we say that we are bold. Maybe we say that we have kindness towards other people. Maybe we volunteer a lot. And that is what makes us a good Christian. And yes, while I believe all Christians should have these qualities, the Bible says that we will know that we are his disciples by the way that we love. And so when we think about our loves, I want us to think about what is the defining quality that you have personally. Do you consider yourself wise? Do you consider yourself a nice person? I believe that all Christians, their defining quality should be love. Maybe you show this love in different ways. Like I mentioned, that Valentine's Day, the way that we express our love looks very different for every person. But we all should have this key attribute, which is our root, this is our foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, he gives us love. And we all should be very loving. And we all should be very kind toward each other. And a reason, ultimately, why we should pursue love is because he says in John chapter 14, 15, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I think that really affects me. I look and I apply that verse in all aspects of my life. If I love Jesus, then am I obeying his commandments right now where I'm at? And a lot of times I find myself not being able to apply that in how I treat people. And sometimes the way I treat people doesn't always show that I am a Christian. Maybe my defining qualities in many moments is not love. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's arrogance. Maybe it's me wanting to puff up my knowledge. And a lot of times I am ashamed of that. And I just want to ultimately love God. And I think everyone here wants to love God. The fact that you're in this church, the fact that you're watching online, the fact that when you drive home, you listen to a sermon or a podcast or Christian music, we all want to love God and we all want to know how to praise him and glorify him more and more. And I think a lot of times people, they come into church and they hear a sermon and they leave and they aren't really changed or they don't really know why they're here. But it's important that we set a goal for why we are here in the church, why we're here, why we are listening to Christian music, why we are doing all these things that seem very Christ-like. And that's because we want to know how to glorify God, how to give God all the honor, all the praise. And the biggest thing that we see here is that what defines a Christian is love. And so that's what I pray that all of us, that's what we are rooted in, that we are rooted in love, that our actions and everything we do just shows God's glory, shows God's grace for our lives. An example that I have, a real-life example I've seen is one time I was at In-N-Out ordering a hamburger, and there was a server there, and he just glowed. He looked very happy. He looked like the way he was talking to me, the way he was receiving my order, everything just was glowing, was very bright, very happy. And I asked him at the very end, are you a believer? And he said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I thought that was very interesting that before I even asked him it, he just glowed. You could tell that there was something different in his life, that he had a defining quality. And his defining quality in his life was love. And I'm not sure what happened to almost the childlikeness of just loving, where now it seems weird. It seems like if I'm an adult, I cannot do this thing. That cannot be my defining quality. If I'm an adult, I need to be prideful. If I'm an adult, I need to be a provider. I need to do all these things. And while, yes, all those things are good, we see from this interaction that I had from this server at In-N-Out that he was glowing. He was glowing. And I didn't even have to ask him to know that there was something different with him. And I know that all of us are able to do that. None of us have reached an age where we can stop being, where we can stop glowing. We can take on these childlike qualities, these traits of just loving. And I pray that that will be our defining quality as we are entering 2026. Yes, it's February, but we can still change course if we aren't keeping with our goals that we've established. I pray that that's something that we are able to realign as a church. Am I able to love? Because that should be my defining quality. Am I able to love? Because that's how other people will know that I'm a Christian. That's a new commandment that God has given us along the Ten Commandments. He has given us to love our neighbors. And whether you think loving your neighbor is important or not, whether you think what I said was invalid, whether you think Valentine's Day is a very silly concept that it stems from pagan origins, what I will say is that God is glorified. God loves when we love our neighbors. God loves when we bless those that curse us. God loves when we can just show our loves to our friends, to our family, to our wives, to our brothers and sisters. God loves them. And something we need to understand is, while we are here on this earth, whether it be 80 years, 90 years, if God bless you, the Bible says that you can live up to 120 years. But whatever our duration here on earth is, I want us to keep a verse in mind, and that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It says here, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures up in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And I pray that that will be deep in our hearts, that we will hold that into our hearts. Something I want to leave you with is this idea. The currency in heaven is not the outcome of our actions, but it is the fact that we are obedient to God. You could love someone and they could curse you. You could love someone and they can neglect you. They can forget you. They cannot even acknowledge that you did a good thing. And so based on that outcome, we would say that we failed on loving someone, that we messed up, that somewhere along the line, it was our fault, and God does not get glory for that. But the currency in heaven is obedience to God. For God knows that he loves us, or that we love him, by the fact that we are obedient to him. So the fact that we are able to just love people, regardless, and throw away and keep yourself separate from the outcome that there is, were you obedient to God? Were you loving people? Was love your defining quality here on this earth? Because we're all going to have to give a testimony to God on Judgment Day. And I really believe that the fact, if love is our defining quality, will show how much reward that we have stored up in heaven for that. If we loved a little bit, if we loved a lot. And may God just give us wisdom as we're here on this earth, that we don't act in pride, we don't act in arrogance, that while we try and pursue many things in this life, may it all stem from and may it all point to Christ. And may it all just stem from his love and from his wisdom and from his strength that he has given us. So may God bless you all. Amen.